Hey, do you hear that song? If you like it, you can listen to it streaming, but not download it for free, legally. Joining us now to talk about why you don't have to fork out money to listen to music anymore is Maura Johnston, editor of the music blog Idolator. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Great. Now, it's Thursday. We talk tech every Thursday. And we've gone from vinyl to tape to CDs, now streaming music that usually comes from your computer. So, you know, what's so good about streaming now compared to a few years ago?
Well, you know, a lot of the labels have sort of loosened their grip on allowing legal music and, you know, obviously, like, properly labeled music, that is, to stream from various services. You know, there are free services like iMeme and Lala and other, you know, pay services like Rhapsody, where you can just, you know, call up certain songs on your computer and listen to them. And depending on whether or not the labels have granted access to those songs, you can hear, like, high-quality versions, as opposed to the old days where if you were looking for a song online, you would get, you know, like, five things that were claiming to be, say, Transmission by Joy Division, and, you know, four of them might be covers by other bands, or they might be really low quality.
Right.
So it's really sort of changed in terms of legality and that allowing for better quality songs to be accessible.
Yeah, I've played around with a little bit of making playlists on iMeme and Blip FM, which we'll talk about in a second. But there's a new service, or, you know, not even in the U.S. officially yet, called Spotify. What's special about it?
Well, Spotify people love because the interface is actually really elegant. It's very much like iTunes. And it's, you know, it's ad-supported, but it's ad-supported in such a way that it's very, like, minimally intrusive. And the catalog is just unparalleled. It's really, you know, it has a lot of songs. They just signed a deal where they added, like, 2 million songs from an independent distribution site so that they have a lot of indie music now and other classical and stuff. And, you know, people just are raving about it. I mean, it's sort of the convenience of iTunes, but, you know, the sort of added convenience of not having to cost anything unless you want to skip all the advertisements entirely.
So, you know, who's making money off those ads? Is it the service, the labels, the artists? Who's making money?
It's usually, you know, the labels, and then they sort of are supposed to funnel the money to the artists, although that's something for the lawyers to figure out, I guess. But, you know, the services pay money to the labels in order to license the music. And unfortunately, you know, the problem is, like, the ad revenue right now is not really catching up with the fees that the labels, that the services are having to pay to the labels. So
yeah,
it's sort of, you know, everyone's in this dance of, like, trying to remain profitable while also continuing to provide the service.
Now, you know, we've talked a lot on the show about social networks, you know, places like Facebook. And I was on Blip FM, you know, one of the services, and the system gives you points for playing music that other people like, you know, usually more obscure cuts. And I actually played Institutionalized from Suicidal Tendencies.
Excellent song.
Yeah, you put me in an institution, said it was the only solution. I know you like that song, too. You know, I got points for that. And so how does social media play into this?
Well, I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, I mean, with Blip FM, I know a lot of people enjoy sort of broadcasting on Twitter what they've been listening to, you know, but again, music is such a way for people to sort of connect that it becomes this sort of thing where you can bond with people and you can potentially maybe, you know, make new friends over the music that you're listening to. But I think what's most important to the majority of people is just the ability to listen to the music and to sort of, you know, conjure up the memories brought up by listening to Institutionalized for the first time in however many years.
All right, Maura, again, Maura Johnston, editor of the music blog Idolator. Let's talk about what's not so legal. You can do something that is called ripping streams, and you can rip from radio and other places and kind of sneak around the barriers of legality. What goes on there?
Well, what happens, you know, is that you get a program when, like, say when an album is, like, streaming pre-release on a site and you want to own it for whatever reason, you can, you know, use a program to sort of basically do the equivalent of holding up a tape recorder to the computer, although it's all internally done. And then the problem with that is, you know, you get, like, a really bad quality. Like, the digital copying isn't perfect yet, so you get this sort of poor-ish quality. Like, whenever I hear an album that's been ripped from a stream, I can always sort of tell because it sounds like a little watery. So that's something that, you know, people will do if they feel like they really, really need an album right now. And it's been interesting, actually, because, you know, there were so many albums that leaked pre-release way before on majors that were coming out, you know, even a year ago. And now most of the leaks that I've seen have just been rips of these, you know, authorized streams. So the labels are really kind of doing a better job cracking down. And that's why you see this sort of people still using this technology to rip streams.
All right. Final word. A lot of people don't get that into tech. What's the one service people should try today?
Oh, geez. I like Lala. I think Lala's pretty good. I mean, if they want to deal with all the proxy server, they can muck around with Spotify, but, you know.
Okay. Well, I think with proxy server, we have officially entered
totally.
Nerdlandia.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Too early for the nerdiness.
Well, Maura Johnston, editor of the music blog Idolater, many thanks. And now we go to Femi Okay with the headlines.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.